Acts chapter 20, and let us read again in verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I commend you to God. Usually service is one of its a very common thing to have a New Year's Day service, but I think it is certainly a good tradition that we have, and it is particularly good for ministers that it gives them an opportunity on New Year's Day, beginning of the year, to say something special to their congregation, whatever God has laid upon their hearts. Now, mainly, we are more aware than ever at this time of year of not just the speed at which time goes by, but at the accelerating rate of time. It just seems to shrink with every year. Time seems to telescope into itself. And I want today to base my New Year's Day message to you on this verse 32 in Acts chapter 20. This is a very engaging passage that we read together. It is indeed a very emotional passage and an emotional scene and situation with the Apostle Paul taking his leave for the last time of these Ephesian elders, knowing that he would not be able to see them again, that they would see his face no more. And the scene at the end, of course, in verses 36 to 38 is particularly moving. When they kneeled down and prayed, there's, I suppose it would be, on the shore, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. And I have no doubt myself that the obvious feeling, the obvious emotions in the minds and in the actions of these Ephesian elders would have been a great comfort to Paul, because very often Paul was not appreciated. Paul was the one who said at one point in one of his letters to one of the congregations, to the Corinthians, "The more I love," he says, "the less I am loved." And it's wonderful for him to have this emotional farewell with the Ephesian elders. I want just to make a few points from this verse. First of all, the carer. The carer. There is one carer for God's children who is above all other carers. Now, the term carer has become a very common word in our vocabulary. It stands for somebody who cares for someone who is aged or infirm and is not able to live completely independently. And it is indeed a very hard decision for anyone to take, to admit that they need a carer and that they have to call in help because they are no longer able to live completely independently. And it is for many people a major hurdle. There is in it a surrender of independence. That is the thing which most of us cherish so greatly, our own independence. Now there is a very similar acceptance, a very similar surrender when one becomes a Christian. When one becomes a Christian, there is a surrender of independence, a surrender of self-reliance, self-sufficiency, and independence. There is no becoming a Christian and continue with the same philosophy of life and the same philosophy of living as you had before. And this is a greater problem for some than for others, but I think everybody has it, that there is this great hurdle of having to surrender one's independence, to lean upon someone else outside of ourselves. It is against our nature, and I think it's very much against our, particularly our nature as sinners, that we have this almost like an idol in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts. Perhaps we don't bow down and worship that idol, but very often it is there, this idol of being able to look after ourselves and being self-sufficient. But the very relationship of the Christian with his God is a relationship of dependence. It is a relationship of the cared to the carer. The Christian is a cared for person. And he has a carer. He has the carer as his carer. Quite above any earthly carer he may have, he has the carer. That is God, looking after him and caring for him. And the moment we become a Christian, we accept that we have a carer and that we are no longer independent in the way that we were before. We're no longer able to just look after ourselves and solve our own problems and deal with every obstacle that we come up against. We say, well, that life is at an end. I don't fall passively into doing nothing. Nevertheless, from that moment on, it's a case of seeking help continually from God Himself. And the great thing about that relationship and about that acceptance is that God wants our burdens. He wants us. His desire is expressed in the words that we cast our burdens upon the Lord, for He careth for us. If we don't cast anything on Him, then we are not giving Him His place as our carer. We are saying to Him, okay, you're all right there in the corner of my life. It's good that you're there and I'm glad you're there. And if the need comes, then I will call upon you. It's not the picture. The picture this, that this carer must be allowed access to every part, every area of our lives. That we submit to him all our plans at everything that we do and everything that we plan, all our projects are submitted to him, and we look to him for his guidance, for his counsel, and for his care over us. We have a carer who truly cares. A carer that we will never have to change for another. Another problem with earthly carers is that there are so often, in most cases anyway, lots of changes. It's always the case of getting used to the new carer. This carer is the one who is going to be with us permanently, continually, and without break, right until the very end. Behold, he says, I am with you always, even unto the very end. Another thing about human carers is that they, in the day we live in, they have rules. They have guidelines as to what they should do. I should not use rules. There are no rules any longer, I don't think. It's always guidelines now. In case, because rules are quickly becoming a bad word. They have these guidelines as to what they do and what they don't do. And that limits the remit. It limits what they are to do. The heavenly carer has no limits at all. He has and he takes an unlimited responsibility for us. He cares for us. And what I seek to do today is to commend you to that care. Commending meaning that my great desire would be to give you over for safekeeping to the heavenly carer to the journey's end. That this year may be a year in which you have been more keenly aware than ever of this relationship between you and God, of the cared for related to the care. Commend meaning to give you over. Now, there is always progress in the Christian life. There is progress in every aspect of it. And this is no different. Because let nobody say, well, I have committed myself to his care. I have accepted his care over me completely. I can't have him more as my carer than I have. Nobody gets to that stage. But we have to strive more and more to make him the carer in every area of our lives. And more to accept his invasion of our lives. To accept more and more is taking over of our burdens and our responsibilities. To accept more and more that there is no detail in life that he is not concerned about. And indeed, as I've often said to you about prayer, that it's in the small things that you have to cultivate the habit. Because we don't have mountainous problems every day of life. So with this caring it is in the small things of life, the little things. Doesn't matter how trivial. It concerns us. Spread it before the Lord. Bring it to Him. Create that habit in the small, mundane, ordinary things, knowing that no detail of his child's life is of no interest to him. This is a steady invasion, an increasing intrusion, an increasing overwhelming of our lives with the great carer. And I commit you to him. Let not our independence, and I would stretch to say, let not our sinful independence get in the way. I do think that to call it sinful independence is not stretching it too far at all. If we are just keeping certain areas of our lives to ourselves and looking after ourselves as if God was not our carer, are we guilty of sin? Well, you know, unless we see it as sin, then we're not really going to do very much about it. If you will pardon the parallel, someone who has an alcohol problem, he's addicted to his alcohol. But until that person sees his problem as a sin, drunkenness is a sin. It's not a disease, it's a sin. The Bible condemns it quite clearly. But unless he sees it as that, he's not going to be helped. And we're not helping him. If we say to him, oh, it's a disease, yeah. We must bring him face to face with God. So it is with us, with our independence. We have to ask ourselves the question, am I here without realizing it? Am I sinning against God in insisting on my own independence? What a lovely picture in the Song of Solomon, in the last chapter of that song. It's not all that long since we looked at it. It's about the relationship of Christ to his church in this world. And it asks the question, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? What's the picture? It is the picture of the church or the believer. In this case, a female leaning on Christ, coming up, having been in the wilderness, coming up, perhaps peering as the wilderness journey gets to an end for her. Who is this? Who is it? It is the church or the believer in their ideal relationship, leaning on the beloved. We have to jettison our independence, and we have to accept the carer. And I would commend you to him as your carer. There's one or two more points I would like to make here. I want to say this, that we must always remember that this carer, one of his characteristics is that he uses means. Now that's a major principle in the Christian life. Major, major principle. That God uses means. We want God to act directly in our lives. We want him to speak directly. But God uses means. That's major for us to accept. This carer uses means. He does not need means. He doesn't. But he chooses to work through means. And at every point, he provides means. But the means above all others that he uses is his word. This word, called here the word of his grace. I think that's a beautiful description of the scriptures. The word of God's grace. That is his major, his chief means of blessing us, his chief means of caring for us. The word of his grace. The word of Christ. Christ is all through the scriptures. Old and New Testament. If you have just a little bit of insight, doesn't take a lot, you will find him at every point. He is there, shadows, foreshadowings, types of Christ. They are there all the way through. Because it is about him. From the beginning. It's all about the seed of the woman. And that is ultimately Christ. Who will bruise the serpent's head. No Christ, no grace. If there was no Christ, there would be no grace for us, and there would be no word, because this is the word of his grace, the scriptures, the channel of grace. The channel of blessing. The channel of care. It is an indication of our dependence if we are often found in the scriptures, reading and exploring the Word of God. Are we often found reading, exploring the scriptures? I repeat, it is an indication of our dependence on the great carer if we are resorting to the scriptures, looking for something from him, looking for his care over us. Put it another way, to abandon it a bit, that our real sense of independence on our part, a real sense of it, will drive us to the scriptures. If we neglect the Scriptures, it is an indication of our independence. Let us express our dependence, and express it to our brethren, to the world if necessary, and above all, to God, in the eyes of God. Do you not think that God is pleased every time you resort to this? This is the great means of the great carer to do his work. Now we see here that this means is able to do two things and a lot more. There are two things here. The word able mustn't put us off. It's able to build us up. Not that the word of itself can build us up, but only as God uses it as a means and applies it to us by His Holy Spirit. That's what we are looking for when we read the Word of God. It is able to build you up, Paul says. Christian life is not static. It's a life of progress, a forward life, a forward-looking life, a forward-traveling life. Every day we are a day nearer the end. Every year we are a year nearer the end. Christian is somebody who is continually being changed. We call it sanctification. To build you up, it says here. Sometimes we talk about growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Sometimes we speak about being sanctified, sometimes about being built up in the Lord. That all these things, they really mean the same thing. The same fundamental thing about the Christian life, that it is a life of travel forward. That Psalm 107, which we sang together, I just love to read that psalm as a picture of the Christian life. No city found to rest. No rest here. They are bereft of rest until God brings them to that city which He Himself has built. We must seek that change. We must seek it through the Word of God's grace. Secondly, able to give us an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What's the thing about an inheritance? It is that it is not earned. It's just simply given to you, bequeathed to you. It just falls to you. It has nothing to do with earning. It is an inheritance. God, as it says here, is able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What is the inheritance of the Christian? What is he going to inherit? What has he already inherited? He is going to inherit heaven, to be with his great carer forever. But is that all? Is it just simply what is to come, as some people tease us by saying that we're looking for pie in the sky when we die? Is that all there is? No, of course it's not. It's in this life as well. Here we have foretastes of heaven. We have foretastes of our inheritance. Ephesians, we read, Paul says, the Spirit himself, he himself, the Spirit of God, is the earnest, the foretaste, the down payment of our inheritance. Receive the down payment here. Although the final inheritance awaits us when we get to heaven. I'm sure I've told you about an elder who used to be in the church I was in Glasgow. He's dead many years now. But he had an absolutely wonderful conversion from a life of great doubts. And he was characterized right from the beginning with an unshakable assurance that he was saved and that he was going to go to heaven. And he was known for this. And he was in company once. And he was speaking just as if heaven was just sure. As if it was, that was his destination. And somebody says to him, how can you be so sure? And his answer was, how can I not be sure, he says. I'm there already. What did he mean? He meant that he had foretastes of heaven in this life. We have Christ, and we will have Christ in his physical presence in heaven. Our eyes shall behold him. In our flesh we shall see God. Here we have him by his Spirit, which in a sense is a nearer presence for us than what the disciples had when he was physically with them in this world. Spirit dwells with us and dwells in us. We're going to sing these words. Thou my sure portion art, O Lord. Not will be, but art now. What does he mean? He means the presence, the indwelling of the Spirit. That is our portion. That is our foretaste. I commend you to the great healer. 2009 will be characterized by as a year in which you accepted utter dependence upon God. And that you accepted the great heavenly carer as your carer. And in that way you're able to say, God, my portion. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee again for this opportunity to meet on this significant day in order that we might seek to set ourselves right for this year to come. Particularly, Lord, to set ourselves right with thee. O Lord, wilt thou take us into thy care? Lord, thou enable us to rest in thy care. Remember us, Lord, throughout the rest of this day, and through whatever days thou art pleased to give us. Enable us, Lord, to go forward with thee and to glorify thee and to enjoy thee forever. In Jesus' name, amen.